Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com.
All right. Time now to bring in longtime friend, although he won't claim it, and that is the voice of the Atlanta Falcons, the voice of the ACC Network, Wes Durr, my friend. Welcome back.
How are you, Steve?
Doing great, pal. How about you?
I'm good. It's ironic that I'm doing this show today because I'm actually doing my first Notre Dame game with Coach Shrewsbury tomorrow, and I have a couple Notre Dame games coming up, and I saw that Calvin Booth's son is playing at Notre Dame, and I'm just like, how much older do I need to be told I am?
No, exactly. Kerry Booth, who obviously had signed here and then, of course, was was released and then went with Micah to Notre Dame. So when you get a chance, please make sure, because I've texted him a couple times, but just make sure you tell Micah I said hi.
And I'll have to do it,
And Mike Farrelly and all those guys there. Greg Niskanis.
Great guy.
Great guy. So it was an interesting year for the ACC. With what happened with Florida State. And Florida State, tell me if I'm wrong, entered the season mad anyway.
Now, let me clarify a little bit of the national rhetoric about Florida State.
Let's go with that.
Because I think what nationally has been played out about Florida State and what reality is a little bit of gray here. The first thing that folks need to know is that Florida State paid Willie Taggart $18 million not to coach anymore.
True.
Okay? And that happened after Stan Wilcox, who was the athletic director that hired Willie Taggart when Jimbo Fisher left for Texas A&M, but controversy there. And part of the reason Jimbo left because he was concerned about resources. The chief of staff to the president, John Thrasher, David Coburn, became the athletic director when Stan Wilcox left. And when Stan left, it was 6 months after Willie Taggart got the job.
Okay.
So Stan kind of may have seen the writing on the wall, if you know what I mean.
I got you.
So David Coburn takes over as the athletic director, interim athletic director, and he is a politically, as you might imagine, university guy, chief of staff to the president. Yep. So Florida State really didn't do anything resource-wise. They hired Taggart as a football coach. Everything else kind of stayed status quo. Mike Martin retired as baseball. And the reason I'm telling you all this is Florida State turns around out of the pandemic. Michael Alford comes in as the athletic director. And you may have, if you follow the transactions of athletic directors, which is a lot like coaches now. Michael Alford was not supposed to be the AD. He was supposed to run Seminole Boosters.
Right.
Vince Tyree, who was not going to have his contract renewed at Louisville for 36 hours, they thought he was coming to Florida State. And I tell you all that to tell you that Florida State found itself in financial straits. And all that's starting to come around as a result of NIL and all the things we have now in our world. And then last August, Florida State decides that, okay, well, we're going to tell people that we're not happy. And look, they've got some gripes, absolutely, and they're right about some and wrong about others.
Right.
And then they have this unbelievable year, and now all of a sudden they don't get in, and it just refires that engine, if you will. So it's been an interesting fall for Florida State. Mike Norvell, though, amidst all this, Steve, it should be understood how good a job he's done rebuilding Florida State and using the portal efficiently and retaining players and developing players. And remember now, 2 years ago in 21, he started the season 0-4 with a loss on a Hail Mary to Jacksonville State.
Right. Remember that distinctly.
And Roddy Jones and I did that game. And so, you know, I think Mike Norvell turned their football program around, and I think they are a factor, not just this year. I think they're going to continue to be a factor. But, yeah, it's been a frustrating year for Florida State, and I think in some respect now, the ACC is seeing kind of its life flash in front of it a little bit, and it's going to be interesting to see how the league reacts going forward given the landscape of the expanded playoff.
Right, which brings me to the part about the grant of rights. And my point about the grant of rights has been you have to remember the landscape of the situation when everybody signed. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So yep. there was a lot of logic as to why they did what they did when they did it, including yep. the ACC network now being a part of this.
Mm-hmm.
From everything you understand, and I know it's a very simple 5-to-8-page document. I mean, in mm-hmm. reality, I haven't found anybody yet who's found a way to get out of it, or at least found a loophole. Have you?
No, and a lot of people have claimed to, and a lot of people on what my dad used to call the internet jockeys have yeah. have said, oh, well, you know, X school has found this, and they'll be filing. And I'm asked, you know, like you would be regarding Penn State, I'm asked by a lot of ACC people in our travels this fall, well, do you think, you know, school Y or school J is going to leave the league? And I said, well, when? Like tomorrow? No. Yeah. Can they leave in 7 years? Maybe. I mean,
yeah.
But I don't know the bank account of each school. I do know what some approximates are at some schools. And I also know, too, and this is the part that I think is really funny, we have schools in this country who want to make these moves. And in Florida, I'll use Florida State as the example. Yeah. And I have some friends who are, you know, Seminole boosters who are, you know, good, God-fearing Florida State fans. And they said, well, we're leaving the ACC. And my first question is, well, where are you going?
Right.
And they're like, what do you mean? I said, well, you have to understand that that conference has to cut you into their pie because you're not going to be able to take a slice of this pie with you to that league.
Right.
And all of a sudden you start explaining the business side of this, and next thing you know, they're kind of backing off the, well, we're leaving. And I said, the most important piece about conference expansion, and you've seen it obviously with what the Big Ten has now done, you not only have to know who's in your league, you have to know why they're in your league.
Right, exactly.
And I would say this for the Big Ten folks, and certainly Penn State, and you know, Penn State's move from being a football independent to a member of the Big Ten is a remarkable story, and it came at a specific time and place in the history of the Nittany Lions.
Right.
Well, it feels like Oregon and Washington have made the move at a specific time and place, very similar to Penn State. Feels like UCLA might be there by panic.
Yes,
more
sure.
than anything else.
And $104 million in debt in the
yeah,
athletic department.
That's the other thing. See, USC's there for a different reason. Oregon, Washington, yeah, other reason.
Yep.
UCLA's there because, like Maryland, UCLA needs the money. Maryland needed the money.
Yep.
And when the deal couldn't be, and I think we can say this now 12 years later,
yep,
when the deal couldn't be worked out with Georgia Tech and North Carolina,
yep,
they went to Maryland.
That's right.
And so reality is that, you know, Bud Peterson, who was the president of Georgia Tech at the time, and Holden Thorpe, who was at North Carolina, they didn't feel comfortable getting into the political, you know, mashings of what it would have been like to leave the ACC.
Right.
I think you have presidents and chancellors now who showed you in 2020 that they want that television revenue. They want it for athletics, and they also want it for their universities, and therefore they're willing to kind of break tradition to do it, and that's what we're seeing.
And Washington and Oregon made the long-term play because they're going to get about half of what everybody else did. And Fox helped fund that part of it, but they're not going to get, quote, the full share until the next TV contract comes up. But see, that's the long play that they're making,
yep,
at this point.
Yeah, and see, and in the case of somebody like, and I'll use the ACC for an example, how bad does SMU? You want to be in the league? Well, we'll come for free for 8 years.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, we'll come on the, you know, what I like to call the quick trip version,
yeah,
or Wawa version,
yeah,
of, you know, yeah, of television contracts. We'll just come in and be a part of it, and then you let us know in the next. So, this is all predicated in my mind, Steve, to 2020.
Yeah.
When they elected to play college football in the pandemic, and you know from the Big Ten how that posturing went.
Yep.
I know how it happened in the ACC and the SEC and some of these other leagues. When these chancellors and presidents said in 2020, we're going to play football, they didn't do it because they wanted to play football. They did it because of the financial ramifications, right, on the back end. That's the bottom line.
No, no question about it. They knew that they would lose at the gate, but in order to keep the TV contract money, they did it.
Yep.
I mean, that's
exactly,
you know,
right. And in my mind, that gave us the ground to change everything.
Right.
And
yeah,
I, and that's why, yeah, I heartily endorse what Chip Kelly said last week.
No.
I, it, nobody has been more clear and more defined about what this is than what Chip Kelly said last week, in my mind.
Yeah, no, and I agree. I mean, and he attacked it head on.
Yep.
And, you know, and I think it's something that is, it was worthy of not just a short listen, but a long listen, and maybe taking some notes as to what he said.
Totally agree. Yeah.
I do have to ask, your bowl game this week is which one?
I am. I'm in Tampa on Friday night. I've got a kind of an interesting game, interesting week. I'm doing UK and U of L basketball on Thursday night, and then fly to Tampa Friday morning. And I'm doing the Union Home Mortgage. I say that Union Home Mortgage Gasparilla Bowl Friday night at 6:30 with UCF out of the Big 12 in their first year in that league, and Georgia Tech, who I'm vaguely familiar with.
I'm trying to think if you have any ties to Georgia Tech. Just thinking back, you know what's interesting?
Yeah.
You know what's interesting about UCF, though? Let's see what you think about this. Everyone talks about Group of Five, and there certainly is going to be an exceptional Group of Five team that can step up. And at some point in this 12-team playoff, they're going to get an upset.
Mm-hmm.
But you saw UCF, Houston, Cincinnati, and BYU go to the Big 12.
Correct.
And they were a combined 8-28 in the conference.
That's right.
That's an interesting sample size, I thought.
Yeah, I think that UCF's storyline, and I haven't really dug into Cincinnati, although I think I can look and tell a little bit about that.
Yeah.
For UCF, I think they've got enough speed in the Big 12. I think this won't be surprising to you. I think the question for UCF became their depth.
Yeah, no doubt.
And in particular on the offensive and defensive line.
Isn't that always the issue? That's always the issue.
Yeah, but nobody wants to talk about it because it's not skill position sexy and you know, ratings and all that stuff. But the reality is, I think Gus Malzahn, I actually had UCF in Florida 2 years ago in the same game.
Yeah.
Right after they announced they were going to Big 12. Yeah, and Gus said then, he said, you know, we might be able to get, this was Florida post Dan Mullen, you know, transitioning to Billy Napier. And I'm not sure Florida was terribly interested to be there, but the idea of what UCF was getting into was fascinating to talk with Gus about, and that reality is kind of come fruition. Now, because it's Orlando, because they have 60,000 students, because I think they have plenty of positives in their resource bucket, I think UCF can be a factor in a league that is obviously evolving. Now with the addition of, Utah and Arizona and all the other things here, I'm fascinated by what that league's going to be. But I think they are speed ready. Georgia Tech is one of the faster ACC teams from a skill position offensively.
Yep.
I think we'll have an entertaining game Friday night.
Very entertaining. I have to ask you about the Falcons. I mean, there's been a lot of frustration with them during the course of the year. They're in an interesting division where you actually can make a move. What has been your thought watching it play out this year?
I think there's some really interesting dynamics taking place in Atlanta that, you know, I've been blessed to do these games 20 years with Dave Archer, Steve. And, you know, every year is different. And people laugh because they say it's the NFL. Well, the rosters change. Free agency obviously is a factor. But here's the thing about Atlanta. They were so trapped in salary cap jail the last 2 years that this has really been the first year they could fortify kind of what they are and what they want to be.
Right.
For me, the transition's been interesting because they did a lot of their work in free agency to retool the defense, and they've done a great job there.
Yeah.
They've drafted well under Terry Fontenot's general manager's hat here the last couple of years, and that includes Eva Katie, who's been terrific here and is having a great year. But they elected to use the draft capital on the offensive side. So Drake London's there. Kyle Pitts is there. Bijan Robinson's there. They've done some things in the offensive line this year with Matthew Bergeron out of Syracuse. So it's been that kind of give and take with free agency. But they didn't have any money the last 2 years in free agency. I mean, we were signing guys on the back end of deals and all sorts of other stuff. It feels like they're going to have a similar number to what they've had the last 2 years, but I think there's more to it. Is that encouraging enough to keep fans, you know, hope alive, if you will, for a team that hasn't been in the playoffs since 16?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I think that's the real tricky part. And yesterday was just, you know, Desmond Ridder is an accomplished quarterback in the college game, but his pro experience has been really a roller coaster, and now he's got six red zone turnovers, including an interception yesterday on a drive that probably would have won the game for him.
Yeah, he's, what, 10 touchdowns, 10 picks right now to this point.
Yeah, he is. And, you know, he's got all six Atlanta red zone turnovers this year, three fumbles, three interceptions.
People will talk about not drafting a running back in the first round. And, of course, Penn State saw that with Saquon Barkley with the Giants as the second overall pick. What was your thought on Robinson being picked out of Texas, and what kind of impact, as time goes, will he have?
I think Robinson has a chance to be a game changer, but I think he has to be like anybody else, and I think they're finding this out in New York. I think Barkley is better when he's got a guy who can, you know, come in and take a couple of at-bats for him,
right?
No
doubt.
Yeah. And I think that's what the running backs have to be. Derrick Henry's the only guy living out here in the NFL now who's a solo hammer, right?
Yep.
And they're even using Tajay Spears, but they use Spears in like a third down scenario. But he's a complete changeup. Tyler Allgeier and Bijan Robinson have worked very well together. But Robinson's not going to run for 1,200 yards this year, and he's not going to catch 70 balls. But what he is going to do is he's impacting the game to allow Drake London to have a, you know, 200-yard day practically 2 weeks ago against Tampa and, you know, and allow some of these other guys to develop. But Atlanta's got a lot of things now, like I said, with the salary cap availability, that they can now go in and kind of do some more fortifying in this offseason. I expect that's what they'll do. But the big issue in this league, and it shows itself every week, all you got to do is look, is you've got to have day-in, day-out quarterback.
Yep, no doubt.
Yeah, and if you don't, you're not going to be in the mix. I mean, everybody that's in the mix right now has really good quarterback play. Just about everybody.
Yeah.
And we got a lot of quarterbacks hurt, as everybody knows, but the reality is, if you're in the mix, and I watched the team last night play and take apart a team a lot of people thought was going to win the AFC South.
Yep.
But Lamar Jackson was really good last night and showed you why he's worth the investment. So,
no question. Hey.
Yeah.
Try and make the golf tournament this year. I know, look, I mean, I realize that we have to now schedule around the PGA Championship. I realize that. And that's not because he's playing in it, although I think he could qualify.
No. I'm not. My game has gone south on me, man.
That's because you're spending too much talking about it on the air and not enough time playing it.
Let me say this. A lot of people have found out in the last 10 or 12 years, like, all my friends are in the Big Ten who do games.
Yeah.
And they're like,
yeah, I know.
Like when the ACC Big Ten Challenge went away, I was like, oh, that's insane. And they're like, why are you so upset? I said, well, you don't seem to understand, like, all these guys in the Big Ten I know. Yeah. My daughter just took a job working in Washington for Northwestern University. I can't wait to tell Dave. And you know this because you and I've known each other 1,000 years.
Yep.
Meanwhile, I've got, like, things I cannot speak publicly on about Keels, LePay, Fisher, and Dolphin.
Neither can I. Look,
exactly.
You have to remember, this group, would it be safe to say, is Las Vegas. What happens there stays there.
Unbelievable.
Right? Am I fair?
I want to tell you, nobody. I mean, and my wife understands this, and several of my friends did. Had Georgia Tech gone to the Big Ten, I probably would still be there.
Yeah.
Because I'd be, like, hanging out with all my friends.
Yeah.
I mean, all the time. I'd be like,
Because last year.
People like, wouldn't you have been sad to leave the ACC? Sure.
Sure.
But, you know, I'd be hanging out with all my buddies.
I mean, plus you'd still see Johnny Holiday. You know, what the heck?
Oh, the best. Yeah. Are you kidding? Has he ever come on your show and done the DJ role?
Oh, my goodness.
Back to wax from all the way back, kids. Really?
I mean, the stuff he did with Tim Conway, he'd do on the show here.
Unbelievable.
I mean, he's unbelievable.
And he's 80?
Yeah, he's 80. And he's 80 and he looks like he's 55. And he and Mary Claire
are the sweetest people on the planet.
Aren't they? Oh, my goodness.
He's the best. I love him and Coach Naki in basketball.
Yeah.
He's got a Strachan. They do an unbelievable job. Johnny and my dad were great friends.
Oh, I know. Oh, no. Johnny talked about Woody all the time to me.
Oh, he's Johnny is sensational.
Yeah.
And he's got, that's why I want to hang out. I mean, hell, I almost came to Big Ten Media Day one time until I heard there was a big luncheon in the ballroom where they filmed The Fugitive. And I said, not a hell with that.
No, you're not going to do that. Not in that ballroom.
No, I'm not coming in that ballroom. Harrison Ford will chase me.
Harrison Ford's going to walk in and all of a sudden he's going to get in a fight in the back corridor.
Yeah.
At the Hilton Towers. Here we go.
Oh, man. What am I doing, LePay? That's LePay. LePay's like the gatekeeper on me because, like, you know, Keels and Dolphin will get you in trouble. Fisher's the ambassador.
Yes.
That's why your league is great.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how Jerry Allen out at Oregon is going to handle this. I mean, you know, coming in Italy. Wait till Jerry goes to that dinner in Chicago at the kickoff.
Oh, yeah, Jerry, yeah. I've had Jerry on the show, too. So it's
he's great.
He's terrific. Good people. This is why we have a good time with us. Like, again, we've known each other as, what, your estimate was 1,000?
Well, let's see.
Well, you know,
I just say I get. You know what? I'll give you the timeline.
Well, it was Marshall. Marshall was the first one, right?
Marshall was the first one. We played in that. Played in the game in Huntington.
Vanderbilt.
I told people I did a game at Rec Hall.
Yes,
loved
you did.
Rec Hall.
Yes. I'll tell you a story about that game later when we get a chance.
Rec Hall, awesome. Love it. Never been to the Jordan Center.
No.
And never been to Beaver Stadium. Can you believe this?
No.
Never been to Beaver Stadium, never been to Jordan Center, but did a game at Rec Hall. Loved it.
And Penn State hasn't legitimately played games in Rec Hall since 1995.
Well, there you go.
Oh, yeah. One of these days, you ask me about that Vanderbilt game when you played at Rec Hall. I'll tell you a good story about that.
All right.
Yeah. Hey. Appreciate you. You think we might be getting your booth? Is that true?
Yeah, I'll send you a picture.
Yeah, it's great.
Hey, it's not Miami. You're not going to the Hard Rock, big boy, which is 32 out of 32 in the NFL.
Can't believe it's worse.
If you haven't heard about the radio booth at the Hard Rock in Miami,
Oh, wonderful.
It makes FedEx Field look like Buckingham Palace.
And that's saying something. And on that note, I think the last time I saw you was, what, Clemson last year, right?
Clemson a year ago in the ACC Big Ten Challenge.
So. All right, pal.
All right. Call anytime, Steve.
You are the best, my man. Thanks so much. Thanks, Wes. Hey, happy holidays to your family, please.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Same to you. Be good. All right.
Wes Durham.